and know no other. With all your heart, mind, soul, and body, love me above all else, for I am the reality of your being. I am the Christ which has never left you and never can. I am the eternal Christ, Son of God. And I am your being. Abide in me. Let me abide in you. And you will bear fruit richly. For I will go before you. And I will perform all that you are appointed to do. I will even take you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you will fear no evil. For I will be there. And I will take you into your next consciousness. And I will take you into many mansions that the Father has prepared. Do you see that I am the way? I am the way out of the tomb of false mortality that has saddled this earth because it has been waiting for a second coming and ignoring that which is here now as the eternal Christ. Turn ye to this I, and then live out of this I as this I, and let I live itself as you. This is immortality realized. And this turning is the birth of Christ realization. Let the outer consciousness put up its sword. It no longer need defend anything. I am the law. I who transformed water to wine. I who resurrected that which appeared to be dead. I who did the healing miracles on earth, I am the self of you. You need no defense. I am ever with you. What you need is the realization that I in the midst of thee am God. Accept my presence where you are. I in the midst of thee am God. Be still and know that I am God. I can never leave you. I will be with thee always, even unto the end of the world. Now this I is your immortal self. And your recognition of it raises you from the dead. It raises you from the dead now before the body decomposes. It raises you from the dead now before the mind is washed away in time. It raises you into the consciousness of Christ, which is eternal, which is deathless, which is the one and only power in all this world. I, the Christ within you, I live your life as my life. I prepare a table for you in the midst of every enemy on the face of the earth. You need no might, you need no power. My spirit goes before you. Refer every problem back to I in the midst of you, and I will tell you, before you asked, I answered. Before you sought a healing, you were healed. The only you that needed a healing was the false consciousness, the mortal consciousness. I, the immortal consciousness of your being, is all there is of you. As you let the mortal consciousness die, I will rise and I will step out of the tomb of that mortal consciousness. Fear not, it is I. This is the message of immortality now. Not in the hereafter, not after we lay aside a physical body, not after a mythical mortal being returns to earth. This is the message of the living Christ, the omnipresent Christ, the Christ that is your name. As we continue doing this, we find within ourselves a great new power. We have the power to bless the world. We can move forth, and the eye of me instantly looks through the density of human form, looks through the false conditions of human minds, and recognizes the eye of itself as the only life, the only presence, the only body, the only being on this earth. There is only the eye of your being on this earth, for your eye is the infinite eye, the immortal, infinite, eternal, unchanging, perfect eye is your name. There is a great weight of world opinion which hangs over all of us. And when you look out upon this world and see the forms and the conditions, it would be well for you to know that the real obstacle out there is not a person, is not a condition. It is always world consciousness appearing before you as a person and a condition. And so this particular fellow who's obstructive or in some way objectionable, or this particular condition, this lack, this limitation, this disease, this suffering, none of these have their origin in God. And without being of a godly source, they can only exist in the world consciousness. And this forms itself seemingly external to your being. As we go along, you'll realize, or you probably do now, that there is nothing external to your being. It only seems to be external to your false mortal consciousness. And therefore, translate everything that is objectionable before you as world consciousness, individualizing as that particular form of objection. And you'll find you're not fearing it quite as much. And even in the proper identification of it, there will be a tendency for it to dissolve right under your awareness of its truth. And so this situation called war, or this situation called hurricane, or this situation called supply, is only world consciousness appearing as the lack, as the war, as the disease. Get rid of those words and rest in the knowledge that world consciousness is merely approaching me in different masks, in different forms, in different conditions, but always it is the one counterfeit. World consciousness, which is presenting the good and the evil, the dualities. I need take no cognizance of them because I am spirit, incorporeal, immortal self. Now, wherever you recognize a mortal selfhood, whether it's in you or another, because God is not mortal, you are recognizing that something exists that is unlike God. This mortal over there is not God being. Well, then who is this mortal over there? This mortal over there is merely world consciousness appearing as a mortal being. There can be no real existence other than God. Everything must be retranslated from its false mortal appearance to the realization that you have only one enemy. And that enemy is the world consciousness taking infinite variety of forms. And if you recognize it here, you can recognize it there and there and everywhere. But what is it? It is the false mortal self, the false mortal mind, the imitation. And it will ultimately come into false mortal form if you do not reach it at its own level and see it for what it is. Nothingness. You're even impersonalizing the forms in front of you, the people. There is no mortal selfhood. And yet everyone appears to be a mortal self. If there is a mortal selfhood before you, you are in a mortal consciousness. If there is a Christ self before you, you are in a Christ consciousness. And what you see, therefore, is telling you where you stand. If you're seeing the Christ, you're in Christ consciousness. If you're seeing the mortal, you're in mortal consciousness. There can be no quibbling about it. And therefore, you're going to recognize the Christ there because if you're not in Christ consciousness, you are subject to mortal law. You are subject to everything that is on the calendar today. If there's a flu bug scheduled, you're going to have it. You're going to have an opportunity to have it. And therefore, we must live in the consciousness that there is an immortal self and an imitation mortal self on a worldwide level. There are not two worlds. In one level of your consciousness, you could live between two worlds. But now you're not between two worlds because you recognize that only one exists, the immortal universe of my Father. The Word is the spiritual universe. And that is where you live, in the spiritual universe. You live in it by living in the consciousness of it. I am conscious of the spiritual universe. And all that is presented to me of the material universe is the imitation of my universe. Even that imitation form that I see in the mirror is an imitation of my spiritual form. And there's where you're abiding. And with it, you're not giving up the pleasures of this world. Never make the mistake of thinking that you are, or that you're supposed to, that you're supposed to suddenly will all your possessions to a dear friend who knows nothing about immortal consciousness. Nothing of the sort. We are being lifted to a higher life, a new dimension of life, in which the joys and the pleasures and the relationships are enduring, not subject to the laws of tomorrow's earthquake or tomorrow's change of weather. We are being lifted to the new kind of life in which we are independent of the laws of the material world. Not that we want to break their laws, but we simply are not encased in bodies of matter that are subject to the various viruses of the world. Now, Paul has this to say. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, where the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal should have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, it's about time that this becomes the consciousness of the world, not just a statement in a book. If spirit is God, if spirit is all, where can spirit go when it dies? Nowhere. Spirit is spirit. Where can you go? Nowhere. There's no place for us to go. We will always be where we are. And where we are is where we must learn to live. We are not here to live that we may die. We are here to live enduringly and to live in the consciousness of ourself. Life has no opposite. Life is God. Life is immortal. Life knows nothing about age or time or decomposing processes, and I, being the spirit, the life, the immortal self, I have nothing to do with age, with deterioration, with decomposing bodies. None of that is yourself. And so you must shake off from your consciousness all of the world belief which has shrouded man in a mortal selfhood. Step out from it. There is no mortality on the earth. There is only my Father's spirit. Now, when you meditate, if you have had a difficulty in meditation, you are as normal as apple pie. There is hardly anyone who doesn't have a difficulty in meditation. But you see, it's because a human being is trying to meditate. Whereas I am the meditator. You must turn to I and let I do all your meditating for you. And then you will find you don't have a problem in being still. You don't have a problem at all, because I becomes your new antenna. I is an infinite antenna. And your whole work is to touch I within yourself, day in and day out. And then when you release yourself to I, you find you're in infinite meditation. And you are trusting I to become visibly every need that you will have for this day. I will be your wine and your water. I am the bread of life. You're finding the miracle that I really becomes supply. I becomes everything that you had been seeking in a mortal consciousness, and it becomes all that you need, the added things, the essentials. It becomes all the things you need of this world. That's why it's called the added things. And those of us who have been able to live in this I, even to a measure, have witnessed the miracle that I, whom you believe in, is doing on earth today what I have ever done. I do not shorten the arm of the Father. My words do not return to me void. I bow to no human powers. I leave no death and destruction behind me. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And this great miracle of I within you, which is self-fulfilling, becomes a living reality to you. Until there is no to you at all, there's just I. I am I. And no longer is there a me sitting down to meditate, waiting for the wind to blow somewhere and blow spirit into my consciousness. There is no such me. There is only I. The immortal self. There's no mortal being trying to get spirit to do something. It can't be done. Let us all graduate from the belief that a mortal can get spirit to do something. As we live in I, we're no longer trying to get anything. Or if we are, we find out soon enough it can't be done. We're just wasting energy. We're not interested in getting. We're interested in giving. We're interested in letting the well of our own infinite life pump forth that which is needed with 12 baskets left over. We have learned the secret of reversing the senses. That whereas yesterday the eye reached out and the hand reached out, all of me reached out to acquire, to pull in, to a mortal self that wasn't there but I thought was there. Now the immortal self wants to push out to those who do not know their immortality. You can't get it fast enough from within to give it out, because this is the nature of spirit, a continuous progression of unfolding. From within, the kingdom of God within you is your new spiritual consciousness. It has no bottom. It has no top. It has no sides. It is limitless. And you're living from that center, resting in I. And lo and behold, I becomes tomorrow's bank account. I becomes tomorrow's food supply. I becomes companionship. I becomes all that an individual needs on the mortal plane, and I continues to lift you into planes beyond. Many of us, when we started out, might have thought we'd be satisfied with just a little leaven. But we find there's no stopping place in spirit. The minute you stop, you're back in mortality. There is no stopping place. We must ever be poor in spirit for the simple reason that the unfoldment of spirit must be infinite. And now we are letting life move at its own rhythm. We are dropping our attempt to control life. We find that our attempt to control life brings us into mortal mind. We are feeling the pulse of an infinite rhythm, and we find that it is perfect in its dominion over every material law. It recognizes no disease, no lack or limitation. It dissolves every untrue mortal appearance. My immortal self is self-fulfilling in every way. My immortal self can never leave. There is no other me than my immortal self. And there is no other you than your immortal self. And now if I want to present to you a picture of a mortal being, it is your function to look right through what I present and to witness only the immortal self that stands before you. As you forgive me my trespasses, you will be forgiven. As you recognize my immortality in spite of what I may do as a human being, you are recognizing your own immortality. And that is the nature of forgiveness. To thine own immortality be true. Now, once you have accepted this, what is the nature of your being now that you are the immortal self? The nature of your being is such that whatever is true of God is true of you. Whenever you use the word God, you're speaking of your immortal self. Whatever is untrue of God is untrue of you. If God does not destroy, you do not destroy. If God cannot be destroyed, you cannot be destroyed. If God cannot be sick, you cannot be sick. If God cannot lack, you cannot lack. If God has no evil in God, then there's no evil in you. There can never be something true of God that is untrue of you, or true of you that is untrue of God. For there is only the one immortal self. And the longer you find your ability to live in it, the longer you are a righteous man. Now we're way past the scribes and the Pharisees. Our righteousness is the righteousness of immortality. The self that is ever the self called God. As you dwell in this knowledge, you can cancel out, you can literally crucify all of the beliefs that in any tomorrow you can have a lack or a limitation or a problem. They can only occur in a false self. If you are in my immortal self, then all of your tomorrows are already perfect in truth. And so this is the work you do in your meditation. You nullify the million tomorrows that are going to make their demands by recognizing my immortal self knows nothing about tomorrows. My immortal self is not waiting for time to unfold. My immortal self is the finished kingdom of God on earth now. All that I need is already established in my immortal self. Mortality, with its varying problems from day to day, is the false identity that I have put off. That was the corruptible. I have put on incorruption. And every time I have a problem, regardless of its nature, that is the lie about God that is presenting itself to me through a false consciousness. And the lie needs no one to defend against it. That which is not truth is but a phantom. It may appear very real to you, but only truth is real. Only truth can be substance. Only truth is under the law. And whatever is a lie, you can stand against it at any time with no defense whatsoever, provided you are not in a false consciousness. For in your false consciousness, you'll turn from one problem and you'll be hit by another. So immortality and freedom are synonyms. True identity and freedom are one and the same. Your freedom is inherent in your immortal self. Now this turning that takes place within you, this identification as I, is going to make you one with I throughout the infinite universe. Wherever you touch I within you, you touch I within every person on the face of the globe, and I within all those who have walked the earth and who are no longer visible. And you touch the I of those who are still unborn and who will walk the earth later. The I of you, when you touch it, in your consciousness is the infinite I called God. And you are now the individualization of that I. You are infinity individualized. And all of infinity is functioning through your being. Immortality is never separate from itself. Now, just for luxury's sake, without trying to channel, manipulate, without striving in any way to bring something good into your humanhood, without striving to make your humanhood better in any way, without striving to get more of this or more of that for your humanhood, remember that the spiritual way is to step out of your humanhood. Not to improve it, but to step out of it. And to let your incorporeal being govern every activity of your day. And lo and behold, there's a better human out there anyway. Healthier, wiser, safer, more protected, because you must learn how to let the invisible run the visible. When you walk out in the visible and try to govern it, you're working with a phantom. When you let the invisible have its way, then lo and behold, by some strange, wonderful alchemy of the spirit, the visible is in harmony. Learn that great thrilling secret that when I am still trusting my infinite immortal self to be itself, I am in the consciousness of plenty, the consciousness of beauty, the consciousness of harmony, the consciousness of love. But don't get it out there. Get it where you are. In you is I. And then get rid of that in you and know that I is all that is here. I is my being. And it moves out into the universe. Where does it end? Where do I begin and where do I end? I have no beginning. I have no end in space or time. The I of me is running through the I of you. And the I of you is running through the I of me. Where do we begin and end? We do not. We are that one I. Do you see why we must learn forbearance, forgiveness, even to those who are still stumbling up the ladder of consciousness? Even if there are a rung or two or three below us, just as we want those who are a rung or two or three above us to help us by their understanding that we at least are moving in the direction of truth. And so up and down the ladder of consciousness, we recognize the infinite I. And scowl if you will, be angry if you will, be vengeful if you will. I will strive to see I as your name. And as long as I'm trying to do that, I must succeed. And let the world scowl at you. Let it bring all kinds of pressures upon you. Recognize the I of it. And the eye of you. And then say, Peter, put up your sword. Forget it. Forget all of it, the antagonisms, the repressions, the frustrations, the doubts, the fears, the wonderments. I is on the field, and I is the only one on the field. And I can blindfold myself, I can turn backwards, and know I is there. I don't have to second guess it. I don't have to keep one eye open to watch what it will do. I is on the field. I is ever on the field. I is ever running its perfect universe, and there is no other universe than that invisible perfect universe of I. Live in it. Live in that invisible perfect universe, no matter what you see. And the law of externalization will take place. That which is your belief in consciousness, if it is the truth, the law is that the truth will make you free. How? The truth that you know in consciousness must externalize itself into form. There is no power on earth to stop it. Spirit and its manifestation are one. The Word must become flesh. But there must be someone to recognize that I am the Word. I am the Word made flesh. There is oneness there, and oneness is spiritual power. Now, we gain nothing by letting our emotions take hold. We gain nothing by letting the human mind respond to the sensations that come through the universe. We gain nothing by the pains and pleasures of this world, because all must pass. We gain nothing by seeking those things that must perish. But we do gain ourselves by laboring for the meat that does not perish but endureth forever. Laboring for the consciousness of the invisible spiritual kingdom all around us. Then the fruits of that kingdom must appear. Wherever you see a mortal being or hear about the mortal race, don't think because you haven't done something about it that it hasn't entered your consciousness. Don't think because you didn't join in and agree that it didn't have its impression upon you. There must be a conscious rejection of every influence, of every lie about your infinite immortal self. That's what this is all about. The day in and day out conscious rejection of what I'm not, so that what I am can show forth the glory of God on earth. Now, what better vocation can we find? Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, to live in the consciousness that this, that I am, is God itself. And it isn't wearing a physical body, it isn't in a mortal form, but it's here. And it's there. And it's around the corner. And it's right under that stone over there. It's right behind that house over there. All of these physical appearances must be dissolved in your consciousness in the realization that they too will perish, but I, the living Spirit of God, am forever. And I do not yield my dominion to that which will perish. Let it resolve itself inside your consciousness until that strange phenomenon called a voice assures you that I am come. You have walked through the door. I am the door. You have walked through the door. You have turned within. You have caught the infinity of being. You're not localized. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere. You're not flesh. You're spirit. And you can feel the presence of spirit as your being. You will see that this spirit, this presence that I am, is what formed me in the womb. This presence will ever go before me presenting new forms. This presence is my infinite being. This presence is the only way that I can live in the kingdom of God on earth. This presence is my Father, and this presence is I. This presence, my Father, and this presence, I, are infinity and infinity individualized, and I am that one. Whoever lives in this consciousness will find the power of spirit never fails. If you enter it with doubt, your doubt will reflect itself. If you enter it with the ability to lay down the attitude of show me, prove something, you will discover that proof which the mortal had sought but couldn't find. The spirit will never prove anything to a non-existent mortal. The spirit will never shower its abundance on a non-existent mortal. The spirit will never heal a mortal being. But as you lay down the garment of mortality, your immortal self reveals itself as that which you had sought when you were speaking out of a mortal consciousness. Your immortal self is the whole, complete being that you have been seeking through the falsehood of a mortal consciousness. As you lay down this mortal being, all that you had been seeking is revealed as the nature of your true being. Now, as you catch these subtleties then, you won't be tempted by the decoys to heal the foot, to heal the heart, to heal the virus, to heal anything. Who wants to heal that which does not exist That's yesterday's consciousness. We're not looking for healings. We are that which is the immortal, perfect self. And that is the eternal healing of all that needed healings. We're not looking for supply. We're not looking for a longer life. We're not settling for fractions. I am life. I am truth. I am health. I am immortal self. You can't heal me. There's nothing to heal. And that is the consciousness we're trying to build now. Above the mortal desires and plans and ambitions and fears and doubts and wants. And there's not one of us who can't, within himself, rest in that and feel the self-healing influence of your own immortal being. Perpetually self-healed of everything. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. And the Father is not sick, not limited, not lacking. Are you that self? If you're not, you need healing. If you are, you need no healing. And so today we're all becoming the one who needs no healing. For I am the Spirit of God. That should be our permanent goal until we awaken each day to that consciousness which makes each day a divine day. So we have our sights set for us. I might tell you this house is called Immortality House for one reason. It was given in meditation for one thing. But as you see this chapter of immortality, this is the truth of our being. And house is the consciousness. And I'd like you to know that when you come here, you're entering the consciousness of immortality. And perhaps when you come and bring that consciousness, then you are immortality house too. And we are all in Immortality House, the consciousness of our immortal being. That's the purpose of this name that was given to us by the Spirit. So that each of us can be aware that our consciousness must be the consciousness of immortality. Next week is spiritual illumination. And you'll find that the eye of you already is illuminated. So naturally, if you were in the eye, we wouldn't see you next week. And maybe we won't. The eye of you released is the spiritual illumination we will discuss in this second chapter. I'd like to meet those of you I haven't met before and thank those of you who have come today. I should like also to suggest that in the future classes, inasmuch as you know what each chapter will be, that you possibly, having read it before you come, might have some questions. And so, if you have a question on any chapter, why don't you just type it or write it up, put it on this little podium here, and I'll try to be sure that before you leave, you have an answer. That way, we can go through this book and all come out of it with the knowledge that I understand it There's nothing in it that's puzzling me. And with that, of course, we can develop our consciousness to the point that when we say infinite way, we mean my consciousness, my infinite consciousness. Thanks very much.